Raymond M. Binkowski is not a physician or registered dietitian. The contents of this should not be taken as medical advice. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any health problem, nor is it intended to replace the advice of a physician. Always consult your physician or qualified health professional on any matters regarding your health. If you're interested in learning more about the content in this podcast, webinar, or episode, click the link in the description or comments to learn more.
Good morning.
Is
Or
it? It's afternoon
afternoon.
here. You're a little late.
Good midday to you, sir. Good morning from California. We are talking about ageism today. So start us off by explain what ageism means to you and give us a few examples of things that you've witnessed.
Yeah, so ageism, if you Google it, which I did to see what the old Google would return, it's kind of a prejudice against people that are older. Right. So it's looking at somebody that maybe is in their 60s or 70s and then being biased, being prejudiced, and labeling them as old. And along with that, having a preconceived notion of what an individual at that age that you label as old can do, would do, should do, etc. And what's interesting is if you dig a little deeper and you think a little bit more about that, like, why does that happen? Why does that happen? Is it because a certain age demographic all behaves a certain way? So step back and think about that. How many times have you heard somebody say, at my age, or I'm too old to be doing that? And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like, how many people, because they're no longer 22 and they're no longer in college where they're an athlete, they stop playing sports. And then one day they're just, they label themselves and define what they can and can't do along the lines of their age. And they say, well, I can't, I'm too old to be doing that. So it's pretty interesting. Yes, ageism is an ism, and yes, there's a lot of bias and preconceived ideas and notions and prejudice that comes with that. But there's also a side of that includes people of a certain age tend to act a certain age, and it becomes, that's what everybody else my age is doing, so that's what I do.
Absolutely. And it even makes me think of this quote that one of my PE teachers had hanging up in their office. And it said, we don't, how did it go? The quote was, we don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing. And I always loved that. It was so perfect. And it really pertains to this too.
100%, 100%. And it's interesting just the sheer number of people that identify a certain way because of the number of years they've been on the planet. And it doesn't have to be that way. And that quote, that, like, nothing could be more true, right? Like, just because you're older doesn't mean you need to give up volleyball or soccer or running or basketball. Sure, you might play the game a little different, but it doesn't mean that you're relegated to the sideline. I think a lot of that is a decision.
Absolutely. Or even your own, this may be a little bit more taboo, but I've always really believed that the body believes what the mind tells it. And it bothers me to no end when my 16-year-old volleyball athletes will say things like, oh, I'm old, and stuff like that, because I do think that that settles into your bones. I think that it settles into your psyche and your approach to different things. But, having a different mental approach, opposite of that would be, I am capable, I absolutely appreciate my body, and I can do anything, and how much more does that do for you versus thinking things even like, oh, I'm old.
It's significant, and I think it's something we don't talk about often enough. It's a lot of it becomes we speak it into reality, and then shortly thereafter, we're cementing it into becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And it's a decision. Like, you can choose at 16 to see volleyball different. at 75, you can choose to not behave like other people your age. And we see that in all areas of life. I mean, it's very common for most people to just go along with the group. And very few people are willing to stand up and be the outlier and stand up, you know, be the 55-year-old single mom that is just trying to do her thing regardless of what her age is, and then is facing labels of, you know, X, Y, Z, because she's doing things that people have decided maybe aren't appropriate for somebody that's 55. And the reality of it is you're not dead. No matter what your age is, if you're still breathing, you're not dead.
So, how do you see this playing out? Where do you see ageism in the fitness world, in the wellness world? What mistakes are people making?
I think first of all, like if you woke up and sat up and stood up today, you won the lottery, no matter what your age is. And I think if you don't decide to live life to the fullest, you are in turn deciding to live life in the opposite direction. You're deciding to allow yourself by groups to be defined a certain way that's relative to whatever your birth age is, right? I think it's a decision. And I think a lot of people look at things like that 16-year-old, and that's where it starts. It's accepted to say, I'm getting older. It's okay because groupthink just goes along with the program. But nothing could be further with the truth. And like, there's no reason to make a statement like that. Like, I have a 72-year-old woman that's a pro bodybuilder competitor. She's 72. And I've done a number of podcasts with her. And if you're listening to this on my podcast, go look up the times that Renee Landers has joined me for a podcast. She has a simple statement. It goes like this: no old speak, no old speak, no old talk. Because she doesn't identify as being a certain way because of her age. So I think a lot of it has to do with making a decision. I think a lot of it has to do with, instead of being that 16-year-old that says she's getting old, or instead of being that college athlete that at 23 their eligibility is done and they're deciding I'm done with my sport, I think instead of being, you know, take me for example, I'm almost 50 and I ride dirt bikes. A lot of people look at what I do and like, you're too old for that. It's dangerous. What kind of news for you? Life's dangerous. And you're going to miss out by not living life. And tying all that back to your question on how I see that playing out in fitness, I think the result is the fitness industry is kind of neglected the aging population. I think the fitness industry has looked at that aging population, say that 60 plus, maybe even 50 plus, as a group of potential customers that, well, they're too old to do these things. Or they, because of age, can't do these things. Even getting on the physique stage as a bikini competitor, figure, physique, bodybuilding, whatever it might be, there, just because you're in your 50s doesn't mean you can't do that. So I think with fitness, I think the industry has an implicit bias along age lines. But I think at the same time that the aging individual plays a role in that. Back to that 16-year-old that's already making a statement, I'm getting old. So what, like, where is her mindset going to be when she's 56, 76? It's already starting. She's already laying the foundation to associate certain behaviors or certain things with age.
I completely agree. And I also think that there's something to be said for if you have a different mentality and if you have a choice. Let's give an example of a middle-aged parent that takes their kids to the playground. You could be the parent that chooses to sit on a bench, be on your phone, maybe you're scrolling social media, something like that. Or if you're the individual that has a mindset of play, engage, move, I can do anything, maybe you're that parent then that's running around on the playground and you don't even realize it, but your heart rate's at 150 and you're engaged with your kids, you know, things like that. I think it could even really change your joy that you get to experience throughout your life too, if you're willing to say yes to more things that are active.
And it goes back to that decision. You can decide to sit and scroll on your phone while your kids play, or you can choose to be active. And with that activity comes experience. Like I see that all the time with parents that are my age. And I'm probably, given the age of my kids, I'm probably on the older end because we had kids when we were both a bit older than what would be normal. But I see a lot of the parents, they don't participate with their kids. They decide that. And once you've decided that long enough, you are going to have issues like you're out of shape. You are going to have issues like you don't move as well. You've lost flexibility. You're overweight, all of these things. But again, it goes back to being in a, you know, it goes back to making a decision. You could certainly choose to be active. And
So how, go
with
ahead.
that activity too, you know, like you running on a playground with your kids, you may not be able to do everything the way you used to. You may have to do it slightly different. Like I'm bone on bone in one joint. Like the surgeons want to put a hinge in, and I'm like, nope, because it only hurts if I do X, Y, and Z, right? There's three things where it will get aggravated. And beyond that, it doesn't impact my quality of life. So I might choose to play a little bit different because of that, but I can still get out there and play. And that's going to be true for about everybody. 'Cause I got, you know, anybody that's over the age of like 35 or 40, you're broken. You got some aches and pains. We all do. But again, you're not dead.
So, what are some things, what are some common mistakes that you see the fitness industry making as they approach aging adults, and what do you do to offset those things?
So the biggest thing, and we saw this at scale in practice in our gym. The biggest thing is you look at the industry looks at individuals, say over 60, 65 or 70, and you basically write them off as they're too old to do much of anything in the gym. They're too old to squat. They're too old to deadlift. They're too old to do a farmer's carry or a one-arm farmer's carry. They're too old to do a med ball slam. They're too old to do an overhead press with a barbell and bumper plates or with kettlebells or standing with dumbbells. So not an overhead shoulder press on a machine. Like they're too old to do it unless they're on the machine because the machine's safe. Well, here's the reality. That population's going to sit in a chair, they're going to sit on the toilet. They're going to hinge at the waist to tie their shoes, i.e., deadlift. They're going to put all their grocery bags on one arm and their key fob for their car on the other when they walk out to get in the car from the grocery store. They're going to struggle to put their carry-on in the overhead compartment of an aircraft. And there's not going to be a machine shoulder press bench to sit on when they're doing that overhead movement. So those are mistakes. Like the industry looks at it as these people aren't able to do these things anymore, but the reality of it is they're doing those things in everyday life. They're getting their heart rate up when they do certain activities, just like they are when they do that med ball slam. So that's probably the biggest mistake the fitness industry makes. And when I look at programming for people that are older, first of all, I don't look at them as their age. I have clients that compete in physique contests in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s today, right now. And my approach is I don't treat them any different. Now, sometimes because once you're of a certain age, you've got enough miles on your body, stuff's broken. It hurts. So there might be things that we do differently. You know, I have one client that has a lower lumbar fusion. She would be defined as elderly. She can't axially load her spine. So she can't do squats with a barbell on her back. She can't do a bunch of trunk flexions. So things like crunches and Russian twists and things of that nature are out. She can't do those. She has a lower lumbar fusion. She's got hardware in her spine. But that doesn't mean we can't train the core. That doesn't mean we can't train the legs. In fact, the more we work with and around some of those things, the more we improve our quality of life. So the industry as a whole, kind of with bias and with prejudice, they fail to recognize that people of all ages are going to squat and press and hinge. And they think, well, they're too old to squat. They're too old to flip a tractor tire. But those same movements they do in daily activity. And if you, as you age, if you do those things, guess what happens? You get comments from individuals in their 70s like, our family has owned a lake house in Wisconsin for 40 years. I haven't been able to go on our family boat with our kids and grandkids in a dozen years because it hasn't been safe for me to go down the steps to get on the pier and step off the pier into the boat. And now I can. Well, of course you can, because we've been training you like anybody else. We've been doing the things that people that are younger than you do on a daily basis in the gym. Or 60-some-year-old male putting mosquito tanks out. So little tanks, when you got family get-togethers, you want to sit on your patio, you put them out, you turn them on, and it keeps the bugs away. You know, feedback like, I used to have to put the tanks in the wagon behind my tractor and then drive them out where I put them and have somebody help me take them out of the wagon. Oh yeah, that person also had to help me put them in the wagon. Well, now I can carry them and put them in the wagon myself. And to be honest with you, the last time I just carried them out in the yard and put them out and skipped the tractor in the wagon. Those are quality of life things. The average older than middle-aged female cannot put her own pilot's bag, her own carry-on in an overhead compartment by herself. I've had people come back from vacation and say, I was able to put my suitcase in the overhead on the plane for the first time by myself in years. Of course, because we've been doing things that we do with people of all ages that makes that possible. Or I had a lady, Naomi Johnson. I think she was probably in her 70s. She came in. She said, I'm going on a walking trip of Europe, and I'm afraid I'm not in good enough shape to walk a lot. So I want you to get me in shape so I can go on this vacation and see Europe. I don't want to miss anything. So we spent over 4 months getting her ready to go on vacation in Europe. And she came back and she was madder than hell. And I'm like, what happened on your vacation? It was terrible. And I was shocked. I'm like, how so? And she's like, well, it was all old people like me. My sister went with, she wasn't strong enough to carry her own luggage. So I had to take my luggage and her luggage. Most of the people would go on the walking stuff for part of the morning and they all went back, had lunch, and wanted to nap the afternoon. I wanted to keep going all afternoon, but nobody else could. So those are the things that happen if we get it right. And the real upside to that, it's not vanity. Certainly that's part of it. It's not looking good in a bathing suit or an article of clothing or no clothing at all. It's quality of life. And when you can go and walk down the pier and get into the family boat, while your grandkids are wakeboarding, wake surfing, skiing, whatever, and you haven't done that in years, that's huge. When you haven't been able to plant a garden because you can't get on the ground and get in the dirt and then get back up on your own, and now you can, that's huge. When you can go and walk and see Europe, it would be better if you went with people that were in better shape or maybe just younger that didn't look at, I'm old, therefore I won't exercise and get ready for this trip.
So it sounds like a big piece of it is no matter who is in front of you, your modifications are based on need. It's based on an injury history or something that you can see in front of you. Nothing should ever be assumed either.
Yeah, so I think the industry makes a mistake, and they define people by age, and with that definition, they assume there's things they can't do. But I also think the population bears some responsibility for believing I'm getting old, just like your 16-year-old. And I gotta tell you, if she's saying it at 16, she's gonna say it at 26, 36, 46, 56, 66, 76, and she's gonna behave because in her mind, she's decided I'm getting old and she's going to behave that way, but it's a choice. So I think that, older people bear some responsibility in that. And It's like Renee Lander says, like it's up to you. Like you can choose to have 1 foot in the grave, right? Or you can choose to say, I got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and I'm still kicking. And that's the way, like you'd ask me about my standards. My standards are I'm gonna lift weights 4 to 6 days a week, period. It's just the way it is. What happens if I miss a day? I don't care because the goal is 4 to 6. And I'm gonna include heavy weight training. I'm gonna include some mobility stuff because I got aches and pains. And if I don't invest in that, they get worse. And I'm gonna do this because I am gonna go ride a dirt bike with my kids. I'm gonna go do that. And people can say what they want. I don't care. I'm gonna live my life to the fullest, and I fully intend to use this body up, all of it. And when I'm gone, if somebody gets this body, it's gonna be like the worst used car that has ever existed. Every check engine light's gonna be on, and it's gonna be shot, used up, wore out.
What's the saying? Road hard and put up wet.
Yeah, I mean it's. But again, it's a choice. And how many people are looking at their age and then missing out on life? Like I see it every time I go to sports stuff with my kids. Like I can go ride a dirt bike with my son. I can't do gymnastics. I used to be able to do some stuff on the rings. That's injury is that's long in the rear view, but I can do some things. And as a result, I get to have that experience with my kids. And I get to experience life. And again, I think that's a choice.
I feel like it's important for the listeners to know that you have a daughter that is an elite gymnast, and I think it would be amazing for the two of you to compete against each other one time. So just want to throw that out there if we could make that happen.
That contest is over before it starts. I have nothing. I'm not good enough. I was never good enough. It's not even an age thing. So no, but a lot of it is it's really comes down to a choice. But the industry does have bias, and it shouldn't be that way. We created something called Evolution Platinum, where the average age of the training client was about 70, and they flipped tractor tires, they swung sledgehammers, they worked with kettlebells, they did heavy carries and battling ropes, and they squatted and they deadlift and they pressed, and they did landmines and they did everything. And the result was improved quality of life. The result was a return to doing things that they hadn't done in a decade or more. And on the
And
flip
also
side,
so
it's.
social too. You got to tip like, touch on that too. How amazing it was for all of them to get together each day too.
Yeah, so there's a big component of that group training that is very social to the extent that there are people that I signed up to do Evolution Platinum 13 years ago. And they are still doing Evolution Platinum 13 years later. There's a group of them that have continued to do that. And there again, that model, that functional group training, it involves a social aspect. You're now like, especially for somebody that's a widow, maybe doesn't have kids. Maybe their kids have passed. It's just them. Their spouse passed many years ago. They now have a family at the gym. That functional training allows them to go and do things and experience things in life that otherwise they'd be missing out on. And then their overall, quality of life. We've said this before in a previous podcast. Strength training has been attributed to allowing like 70% of people living in assisted living to graduate to independent living. That's huge.
That is very cool. I always loved working with anybody over the age of 40, really, because I even felt like their perspective was so unique. They're so grateful. It's just very, very rewarding. And I hope any professional that's listening to this as well, I think there's so many young trainers or wellness coaches or anybody in the field that are really caught up in assuming they only want to train athletes or something like that. Or I feel like probably the happiest I ever was with a lot of my older clients. So it's
A
important.
tremendous opportunity to learn and gain world experience at scale and in short order because they've experienced so much, and it's a great learning opportunity. I mean, I had the chance to learn from a lot of people, and even in regards to the professional athletes, I mean, I can count around 30 professional athletes in the last 25 years that I've worked with out of thousands of people. 30. That's a really, really small market. There's way more people that would benefit from an unbiased approach, from not being labeled as old and being seen as like any other client or customer or whatever it might be.
I think it's important, and I'm going to interject a little bit of my own opinion here, but I would love to hear what you have to add to it. But a lot of what I'm hearing is that no matter what, your choices start now, no matter what age you are. And ironically, just this morning, I had a conversation with my sister-in-law, who is a recent graduate and is no longer a college athlete anymore. So she's trying to figure out what this looks like now, being a normal person. So of course she's only in her 20s and things like that. But what I said to her is exactly what I would say to a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old. And I told her, movement is movement. Find things that you love where you're going to have a dose every single day and don't stop. But when you enjoy something, it doesn't feel so challenging. Like, yes, we want everyone doing weight training. Yes, we want everyone to have opportunities to experience high level training, but also daily doses, little movement snacks, anything that you can get in all the time that makes you happy. Like, I could go for a walk every single day and be totally content. I take my chubby little bulldog out and we have a great time and it's pure joy. It doesn't feel like work. Do you really want people to find their thing like that so that the daily movement, the movement snacks get a lot easier too?
Yeah, so the standard is you're gonna have to lift weights a few days a week. That's a must do. And I have a presentation, a guest speaking piece that I use when I guest lecture at universities. I did it last week, and I'll be doing that presentation again next week at a university. And the second or third thing I say is the weight training's a must do, whether you like it or you don't like it. It's irrelevant. It's a must do. Period. So you have to lift weights a few days a week. In that presentation, I have an image that I show that it's three cat burglars in a darked out living room. And I said, "You know who they are?" And nobody knows. And I look at it and I say, "Well, I don't know who they are either, but they represent time. And every day, time is breaking into your house and stealing from you. So you can't waste it." And that not wasting time is find those activities you like and do them. I've had clients, like I had a lady in New York that rides a skateboard and a bicycle in public transit to work. She's never had a driver's license. She's never owned a car. She's never driven a car, never had a driver's license. And she's like, what about skateboarding? What about cycling? I'm like, those are all bonuses. Do more, right? I had a woman in Texas like cycling, like rock climbing. Same deal. Those are bonus activities. You still have the must do. You still got to do the weights, but don't let time steal from you. Get off the couch and get moving. And you don't have to do the quote unquote workouts. Like when I went and worked with the one municipal fire department the one time, I came back and I wrote work out on my dry erase board and I put a box around work. And I brought the staff from my facility and I said, "Our problem is we're selling workouts and the first four letters are work and people don't like that. So we need to find a way to make it fun." And that started leading into the group training that we did. And that fun leads into the going for a walk with the bulldog. That fun leads into the finding that little activity that you can do on a daily basis because you like it, that you don't see as work. You still got to do the weight training workouts, but you only need to do that like 3 days a week. But the rest of the time, find a game. Find something that's whether it could be pickleball, it could be golf, it could be swimming, it could be cycling, skateboarding, whatever. Find it and do it. And then don't let anybody tell you at your age you shouldn't be doing that anymore. I mean, at all of our age, you could wake up tomorrow with a life-changing illness. At our age, some of us will not wake up tomorrow. So don't let time steal from you. Get after it and get after it today.
So for someone that's listening that is scared or nervous, or maybe they've had a bad experience, or their friend has had a bad experience where they tried to go see a trainer one time and they hurt their back right away and couldn't do anything for 3 months, something like that. How do you conduct yourself with clients to make sure that no injuries happen and that everything is appropriately scaled to start? Because obviously, we've made it very clear that our belief is that anybody can do anything they're willing to train for. But when they're first getting started, how are you going to make sure they're safe?
Anybody can do anything, but maybe not on day one, right? Anybody can do anything. It's a decision, but maybe not on day one. And then in some cases, there might be things that you can't do. Like I have a female client in her 50s. We chatted via messaging this morning. She's probably about done doing much bench pressing. She has so shoulder issues, and they've already been addressed, repaired once. Part of it's age, part of it's a lengthy amount of time exercising, training with weights. So we're just going to move around it and do something different. If you're sitting out there, like a common one is, well, I got bad knees, so I don't want to do squats. Well, you sit in a chair every day, don't you? You sit up and stand up out of bed, don't you? You get in and out of an automobile, don't you? Like I can keep going with these don't yous. Like you squat every day. So let's find a way that you can squat safely. Let's find a coach or a trainer that can work with you, identify what that safe squat movement pattern is for you, and let's get you doing it. There might be individuals that maybe you have a legitimate back issue, and maybe there are some things, like I had mentioned, individual lower lumbar fusion. She's never going to squat. She's never putting a loaded barbell on her spine, ever. Not the rest of her life. I have a couple women that have rather severe scoliosis. The amount that we will load their spine with a barbell back squat is limited. So we'll just do something else, but a good coach and trainer should be able to help you navigate that. And just because you were sore from something once isn't cause and reason to never try it again. But that being said, I'll tie this back. I probably, if you're listening to this and you're in your 50s, you're listening to this, you're in your 40s, you've never worked out in a gym. Or let's say I have an individual in New York in their 50s, new client, hadn't lifted weights in north of a year. So day one, he doesn't need to go to the gym and load up a barbell in the squat rack and squat. He can do air squats, and his air squats today are better than the squats he did last week, which were none. But you have to find a coach and a trainer that understands that. So if you go to a coach or a trainer that's 22, they're going to be like, load up the bar and squat, bro. Because they can do that because they've been physically active and they're 22. But if you're in your 50s and you haven't done that, it's a recipe for disaster. So part of it is finding a right coach and trainer. And I don't think that right coach or trainer is probably someone that's in their early 20s, because they're going to look at you, and if they don't label you as old and unable to do squats at all, if worse than that is they look at you and think you can squat like they can, and they've been going to the gym for the last 4 years, or maybe they're a college athlete that just finished their college career and just graduated, and now they're working as a trainer. Well, they just spent 4 years in a collegiate strength and conditioning program. Of course, they can do about anything in the gym. They've been training for 4 years. Now you got someone in their 50s, hasn't been to the gym in over a year. It's gonna end badly.
I think it's so important to, regardless of anyone's, and this doesn't just apply to ageism or older clients, it's across the board. You want to work with someone that is capable of empathy, of listening to you, and of making sound decisions for you. And I think that for any client, if you're seeing or hearing red flags, listen to them and don't stop searching for someone to work with until you find someone that checks all of those boxes, because you can be in your 30s and be certified and educated and be empathetic towards every individual that's in front of you, whether it's their chronic pain, their mental health, anything like that, how they're approaching every workout session. You know, look for those big factors and listen to your instincts when things don't seem right too.
And that's something that I tell clients, and I have a male client that's going to do a physique contest. Ironically, he owns a training gym and works as a coach, does training. He's got some tendonitis going on, and I told him, like, anything that aggravates that, do not do another rep, stop. And I tell all my clients this, like, if it hurts, don't think I'm going to finish this set. I'll do a couple more. I'll finish the workout. Just stop. And let me know. There's no multi-million dollar contract. There's no signing bonus with anybody for finishing the workout or finishing the set or doing one more rep. If it hurts, stop. And even with our coaches and trainers in our gym, I would tell them, if a client is dizzy, nauseous, or lightheaded, tell them to sit, stop, and sit down immediately. You know, same deal. That's another thing. Like, I tell my clients, like, if you don't feel well, stop and tell me. Don't carry on. Like, from experience, I know if an individual is getting nauseous and lightheaded, their heart rate's probably way too high. They're struggling to manage lactic acid. And one of two things, if not both, are going to happen. They're going to get dizzy and pass out and fall, or they're going to throw up. Stop. Sit down. Don't carry on. If it hurts, don't keep doing it. Same thing, like, back to the, okay, you may not be able to squat like me because you have an injury, but you may be able to still do squats. We just have to modify it, right? And everybody is going to be squatting on a daily basis, you know, obviously, unless you have lower body paralysis, right? But you're going to stand up and sit down every time you sit in a chair. And if we look at the squat, there could be air squats, body weight squats. There could be barbell back squat, barbell front squat, dumbbell overhead squat. There can be a goblet squat. There can be a single leg squat. There could be a pistol squat with TRX or some type of suspension trainer. And we can go on and on and on and on, but there's an unlimited way to modify exercises to accommodate the individual. And that's not necessarily an age thing.
Absolutely. Well, again, it certainly sounds like a lot of this, though, you know, you're going to have outside factors that are trying to push in on you. Maybe it's your doctor, maybe it's society, maybe it's a family member, but a lot of this starts with your view of yourself and your mental approach to things. And I do feel like I have to give my own father a shout out, because I think that my mentality came from him, which is worth noting because there's probably parents listening to this too. But my dad lost his mom, so my grandma, very early. And it was a complete shock. She had a heart attack very young. And my dad obviously could have experienced that and t done a lot of different things. And maybe he could have succumbed to also, you know, not taking care of himself or not addressing it or assuming that the same thing was going to happen to him and not care. But on the flip side, he has always approached every day as something to be grateful for. He's always shown gratitude towards his body every birthday, you know. He just fully embraces all of that and has such a wonderful mentality, you know, like, how lucky am I to be awake today, you know, and things like that. So I think that's had a tremendous impact on how I view birthdays and getting older and all of it. Everyone, I'm like, I am so excited. Like, I get to be 36. You know, how cool is that? I look at my body and what it can do. You know, I'm so thankful. So, what are some changes that people can make from the mental side of things? Is it how they talk to themselves, how they view themselves. What are some big things that people can try to implement right now to change their mental approach?
Who's eating? Who's eating? Is it the black wolf or the white wolf? Which one's gonna eat today? Right? And I use this with my kids all the time. And like it, you have a choice. And nobody talks more to you than you to yourself. And if you keep telling yourself you're old, you keep saying, I can't do this, well, you are gonna be satisfying the most common definition of old. Ageism is gonna apply and you're gonna feel accordingly. So I think first and foremost is decide to live differently. Decide to make an investment in yourself, in your health and wellness. You got to do weights 3 days a week. Find that thing, golf, pickleball. Find that thing that's going to keep you active and get you in a social environment. Ideally, find that event that you can sign up for and challenge yourself with. So, like everything in my world goes back to dirt bikes. At 47, I did my first ever dirt bike race. And that same summer, I had set a goal to do a 90-minute nonstop race. Was I fast? Who cares? I was out there. Did I finish? Yeah, I did. It took me more than 90 minutes. I think it was 94 minutes. But yes, I did the entire thing, and it was an amazing experience. It was rewarding, and it was living, right? So I think that, decide differently. Decide you're not going to succumb to everybody else's definition of age. Don't tolerate what others say you can and can't do because of whatever it says your age is on your driver's license, right? Find people that, and this typically happens, we see this even with weight loss, but find people that have similar outlooks. You become the people you spend the most time with. And let's say you're in your 70s and you spend your time with a bunch of other people in their 70s that look at life as it's done. They can't move, they can't this. Well, I'm old, not at my age. Like, you're going to behave the same way.
An energy vampire, isn't that what they call them?
100%. They're stealing your energy. And even so, I had a guy in the neighborhood in Chicago I grew up in. So I was overweight as a kid, teenager, whatever. And I went home to visit my parents. I was washing my car, and a neighbor across the street, who at the time probably would have been in his late 60s, he comes walking over, and he's like, "Oh," he goes, "I've been meaning to tell you, you look great. Obviously, you've been doing some working out. Like, what have you been doing?" So I told him, and he's like, "Yeah." He goes, "I go to Cal Park, which is a park, on the south side of Chicago on the water," and he's like, "I've been going to Cal Park nonstop, pretty much since I was a teenager. So for shoot, 30, 40 years, whatever. And I run and I do my push-ups, I do my pull-ups, I do my sit-ups, and I try and go every morning before I go to work." And I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." He's like, "Yeah." He goes, "And my brothers and our friends, we have a small group of guys from our old South Chicago neighborhood. We go and we get coffee or breakfast like once a week. And these guys are always giving me a hard time that I got to go to Cal Park before I go to work, before I go to the restaurant, whatever." And he's like, "So one day I'd had enough of this, and we're sitting in the restaurant having our coffee, and they're giving me a hard time about why I got to go to the park and do my exercise." He said, "So I took a coffee creamer and I dropped the coffee creamer on the floor and I said, 'Pick it up.' And they sat there. I'm like, 'Why don't you bend down there and pick it up?' And they all just sat there and looked at me, and they're like, 'Oh, look at, He's like, and I got up, bent over, picked it up, and set it on the table. And he goes, and I said, 'You guys can't pick that up. And I can, because I go to the park and I exercise every day. And if you can't pick up a coffee creamer off the floor, what else can't you do anymore?' So it's a choice. He chooses, or at that point in time, chose to go and exercise, and they chose to make fun of him. He could pick up the coffee creamer and they couldn't.
That kind of beautifully ties in to this last piece, and I think this could be a great way to wrap up this conversation today too. But We've talked about this with our kids, but the same thing applies to anyone of any age. If you're never doing anything challenging, you don't ever get to have that sense of accomplishment either. You don't ever get to feel like I conquered something today, you know? And it doesn't matter what it is, if it's you won your pickleball tournament or you did an 85-pound squat today, you're going to leave with that sense of accomplishment, that sense of I conquered something, I did something big. And how much happier of an individual are you going to be because you chose to do those challenging things? And then you got to see the reward side too.
Yeah, like yesterday was the last easy day of your life. Life's hard. Life's hard. It sucks. It's the way it is. And we, regardless of age, we have become a country with a culture that avoids obstacles and challenges. And I always use this example, and you look at the average single family home, go in the garage. There's many homes where there's not a toolbox. Oh, so what? Well, if there's not a toolbox, the people that live there can't do repairs for themselves, which makes them perpetually reliant upon somebody else. But the bigger thing is, it's an example of exactly what you said. They don't face the obstacle, the challenge, figure it out for themselves, do the work, probably stumble, screw up, make some mistakes. But see it through to the end and be successful. With that comes a tremendous sense of self-worth, self-esteem, self-confidence, pride, feeling good about yourself. That's completely absent in our culture today. And that includes athletically. Like I've been lucky enough to have had dozens of young people that worked for me at one point in time. And there's some of them that started working for me in high school or college. Many of them are married with kids today. I've got three pairs of employees that married another former employee. And no, we didn't have a policy against that. And it all worked out a-okay. Some of them didn't work for me at the same time, but all of them have kids. And in most of those parents that used to work for me, they all have some type of challenge that they sign up for, whether like you're doing a marathon or it's a powerlifting meet. I had another former coach and trainer do a marathon last spring. I've got one that's done powerlifting and then police tactical games or a bikini contest or a figure contest or a 10K or a CrossFit contest or. Well, that's teaching your kids to take on the challenge. It's teaching your kids to face the obstacle. It's teaching the kids that, okay, mom signed up for this thing again. We don't fully get it. And we watch mom struggle and we watch mom keep doing the work. And we watch mom some days not want to do the work, but do it anyways. And then we watch mom see things through to the end and finish the job. And we watch mom feel pretty damn good. And we feel pretty good about mom doing that too. Well, that teaches your kids that that's normal. Like that's part of back to like you'd asked about my standards. That goes back to one of the standards. And that's absent in a lot of our culture. And you really need to look no further than how many garages in your neighborhood have a toolbox and somebody that knows how to use the tools in it.
No, you're exactly right. Thank you for speaking to that, for hitting the nail on the head as always. Now that we're talking about tools, I gotta whip out my lingo now. So thank you so much. That was awesome.
If you like our content, be sure to subscribe to our channel, leave us a comment below. Also, be sure to check us out on your favorite podcast provider. See the links in the description below.